Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes for the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and our insider on the Green and Gold, Ryan Wood, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Woody,
this Packers team continues to bring storylines, especially at the running back position, that they're bringing in dudes left and right, and Aaron Jones back in practice, but Jamal Williams out. What do you make of that running back room right now?
Well, there's depth there for sure, and if we needed any other example that they're going to be using the fullback position, the fact that they went and got another one today with Danny Vitale and Malcolm Johnson now, they're using the fullback position too. So when we talk running back now, we're talking tailback and fullback, and Matt LaFleur is going to use both. Aaron Jones, it turns out, false alarm, right? I mean, I think
right.
Everyone had every reason to kind of freak out a little bit, like, okay, what's going on now? But the fact that he was back in a week from a hamstring means that there was no injury. It was actually precautionary this time, and that's a very good thing for Aaron Jones. And going forward, I mean, I highly doubt he'll do anything this week in Baltimore, but going forward, he's right on course to be fine for week one.
Hey, you know I'm always into relationships and coaches and players and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've seen this, but Peter King came out here and had an article and wrote some stuff about the relationship with Rodgers and himself. Can you take a listen to it real quick?
Is it sure. at all intimidating for you?
Really look at it like that, you know. I look at it as
what Aaron Rodgers co-worker or something.
Yeah, I just yeah. I think anytime, and I know it's different, you know, being the head football coach, but just from a play caller mentality and somebody that works closely with the quarterbacks, I've always viewed that relationship as more of a partnership because he plays the toughest position in all of sports, in my opinion, and. You want to make sure that he's comfortable with everything you're doing so that there's that constant communication that's going on just to make sure that we're all on the same page and that he feels comfortable and confident in what we're doing because I know if he's confident in what's going on, the other 10 guys in the huddle are going to be pretty confident.
Do you feel that way with LaFleur? Are you getting that same sense that that's the way he sees it?
I've thought all this whole time that the only way these two are going to make it work is if there's compromise on both sides. I mean, I think that the word that we used when he was first hired, when we talked about this, was collaboration, you know? Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because Matt LaFleur has never coached an Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers has never been in an offense like this. When I mean an offense like this, an offense where there is not as much latitude pre-snap built into the scheme, an offense where he has to hit the check down sometimes to make it effective. An offense where you have to run the football to set up the play action, because if you don't do either, you're not going anywhere. So there are things that Aaron Rodgers will also have to compromise on. But from Matt LaFleur's perspective, there's absolutely a compromise in that Aaron Rodgers can extend a play and not run it exactly like it should be on paper and get a touchdown out of it or a big play out of it. He can make checks at the line of scrimmage that other quarterbacks simply cannot make. And if you remove all access to those things from him, you're not maximizing the talent, which is literally, by definition, the job of a coach is to maximize the talent on the field. So there has to be compromise. When he says that, I mean, I think he's absolutely dead on what this relationship has to be for it to work on both sides.
Well, let me ask you this then, too, Woody, because he's also came out and said that during family night, Rodgers actually checked out of a play, but called it an old play under McCarthy to get them into another play. Like they did not have that check system in yet for him to get to that play.
And you say that's a bad thing?
I know. Well, that was my question today, top of the hour. Do you view this as a positive negative of Rodgers checking to a old McCarthy play to get into a play that they don't have in their playbook?
I really doubt Matt LaFleur would have gotten to the job he's at 39 years old if he was that sensitive, where he couldn't handle something like that. I don't think Matt LaFleur would be upset with that. I think that there's some, I guess, reality that they are really, really still very young, really in the infancy of this offense.
Right.
So without that, I think that is kind of to be expected. I don't think that's a problem, is I guess what I'm saying.
Thank you. Finally, this guy pushing you to try to make some controversial headline. I'm glad you didn't buy it.
Ryan Wood don't need no controversial headline, man. Ryan Wood is his own man. Leroy, ask it out. Get off my lawn. Go ahead and ask your question.
I'm glad you sniffed him out. Let's get back to some football. I need to know about this guy, Savage. I mean, we need to get Savage, 21 Savage. I need to know this secondary, because I'm starting to get a little shaky because the secondary.
In other words, here comes some softball questions from Leroy Butler regarding Green Bay Packers.
Well, of course. I'm trying to keep my Packers tickets. I don't know about you. I was number 31 on the list. I ain't trying to be number 100. Let's get back to some football. This secondary needs to practice together. I mean, they got to have at least 5 series together before Chicago. Now, most of these guys are not around. They're hurt. But we need to see. I think they're going to have most of the starters out there against Baltimore, which will be good. But the 4 guys that they send out there, they need to be together to get the cohesiveness and get synchronized and make sure everybody's on the same page before they face Chicago.
Well, I got to ask you a question. Why do you think five series?
You just made it.
Is there a certain thing about that number where that's the amount that they need?
That's the number that Fritz Sherman used to tell, that he wanted all of his starters to be together at least 5 series during the preseason. Yeah. After that, we ready to go. You don't want to you don't play no more. You just sit down or whatever. But in live, when the bullets are live in the preseason, out of these 4 games, at least 5 series. Whether it's 3 and out, a 10-play drive, something together, this is the group we're going to start with. The first game, you are ready to go. If one guy's missing, if Eugene Robinson wasn't there or if Doug Evans wasn't there, we weren't comfortable. And it just seemed like we don't know if that group is ready to play.
See, that's interesting. I've never heard that before, but I totally agree with you that it's almost kind of like an offensive line. We got so many guys doing individual things, but it's got to be a cohesive one unit where everyone's on the same page and the communication is down pat. And even though you're doing your individual thing, it's all within the greater framework of the unit as a whole. So I totally agree with that. The issue, though, is obviously Kevin King's out. Josh Jackson just got back. They haven't been healthy. And it seems like this is a broken record over the past few years now, is that this secondary is just never healthy. And if they were ever healthy, there's so much talent in that secondary. I don't think that's a question by any means. It's just that they haven't been there, and they're not there right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think absolutely going into Chicago, they're going to want to build some of that cohesiveness. Mm-hmm. Kevin King's got to get back. I mean, Kevin King's health might be the single biggest factor in where the ceiling is for the secondary. I mean, it is just huge as a whole that he's out there healthy playing. Because when he's playing, he's their best cornerback. But he's playing, he's really, really good. He just doesn't play very much. So, we'll see. But I totally agree that they need to get on the field together.
Now with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, like we do Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Up in Green Bay. What about the fact that they went out and got Bohannon, a fullback that's been in the league for a few years, played in Jacksonville with the offensive coordinator for the Packers, so he'll come in and know the system at fullback Vitale's a little dinged up. But for me, the bigger question is, are they going to go outside and try and get somebody to come in here, like a Mason Foster or something like that, to come in and replace Oren Burks at inside linebacker?
You know, maybe. I think the biggest question I have right now at inside linebacker is whether they go ahead and skimp at the position and only keep 3 and save a body at another position, whether it be offensive line, receiver, running back, anywhere, because they could do that. They could go only Blake Martinez, Ty Summers, and James Crawford and keep 3. And the reason is because they have so much three safety look. Raven Green can be in the formula of the 53. He can be factored into as an inside linebacker, as kind of a sub inside linebacker, box safety type guy. So they have some flexibility there. Curtis Bolton's got to go out there and play his way onto the team. And if he does that, he does that. But it's not going to be given to him just because they have Oren Burks out for a long time. They could go only three there and save a body at another position. I'll be really curious to see if they do that.
I'm so curious to see how many wide receivers and straight up pass catchers they're going to keep, Ryan. Because right now, if you look at it, unless they're going to cut one of those draft picks from last year, Jamon Moore, I would imagine, would be the number one. They're slated to keep seven wide receivers, probably four tight ends.
Yeah, I think they're definitely keeping four tight ends. And if I had to guess today, I would think that Jamon Moore falls on the wrong side of the bubble. But there's a ton of time left for him to go on the other side. And he did have his best practice, according to Matt LaFleur, on Sunday. So is that the jumping off point now with three preseason games left? I mean, a ton of time. And it feels like we've been talking football forever already, but it's just beginning. There's a ton of preseason tape to be had out there. If he goes out there and he's cleaner than he was in the opener, I know he caught the touchdown, but even on the touchdown, if you look at the play,
bobbled it.
Jamon Moore adjusts the football in his hands before possessing it. Yeah. I mean, he's got to be cleaner at that position. But if he does that, he's got the physical ability. He's got the height, speed, strength, the length. He's got all those things. It's going to be really interesting to see if he plays his way on the team. That's another guy. He's got to play his way on the team. It's not going to be given to him. He's got to play his way on the team. And he's got some competition now with Darius Shepherd, Alan Lazard, guys that their barometers are pointing north here. They've been getting more and more reps and a larger role. They still have a, to be sure, an uphill climb at a 53 spot. There's no question about that, because there's a lot of guys at that position. But they're on the right path, whereas before Sunday, Jamon Moore is awfully static. So, ball's kind of in his court.
Yeah, if he's what's going to separate those guys at the back of the line if they're good special teamers? If they're not, they're gone. They can find anybody to just be a flyer. You got to be a flyer, go down and make a tackle, kick off, make a tackle, block a punt, block a field goal or something. But at the same time, if there's injuries, like happened to Geronimo Ellison, if they put you in there, Aaron has to have the confidence that you can catch it clean. And then once you catch it, you got to separate. And I think that's what they're waiting for St. Brown to do. You know, Scantley, all these guys are just lumped up. But the one guy that keeps coming up is number 16.
Kumaro.
I mean, so it's just they got to beat him out. If he beats these guys out, last thing for me.
Leroy, don't do this.
Hey, man, listen.
If he beat these guys out,
everybody we talked about, it make them look bad.
Why did they make them look bad? He's just a better player. Say,
you all these high draft picks from these big colleges and all this stuff y'all got.
So you're throwing shade at Whitewater?
Yeah, he's throwing shade.
No, I'm throwing shade on the system. They're going to get all these great players from all these big universities, and they can't even beat out Kumaro. Stop it.
He might be good.
Question here. Where'd Jimmy Graham go to college?
I don't even know.
Azuzu Pacific?
I don't know.
Who's your favorite tight end on the Packers?
Tonyan.
Where'd he go to college?
I don't know.
Indiana State.
See, I don't know. They got a college?
He was a quarterback his freshman year at Indiana State.
Yeah. But here's the problem.
Tonyan might be better than Jimmy Graham this year.
But here's the problem with all that y'all saying.
All that.
These guys will never get looked at until the Scantlers of the world get picked first. So maybe they should pick the Kumaros instead of the Scantlins. Maybe it should be the reciprocal.
Kumaro, and one other point that I thought you made that's absolutely spot on was these guys, going back to the fringe receivers that might make the roster, might not. It is all about special teams, which is why it was so telling, so interesting when Matt LaFleur, what did he talk about with Al Lazard? He's the first. You watch the film. He's the first guy down on every single kickoff. That's big. If you look at Darius Shepherd, he's got return ability. Trevor Davis, how long is he going to be out? Because what is Trevor Davis but the returner? So that's why they have some credibility to their roster chances. It's because of special teams.
Now, I agree.
Kumaro, Why does Toomer have some credibility? Because the quarterback's in love with him. That's why.
That's right.
It's but he good. Earned that, though. He's not like Jeff Janis, though. He earned it. They just wanted to like Jeff Janis.
Absolutely.
You know, for obvious reasons. But Kumerow's earned the respect.
You done now?
Yeah, Jake Kumerow is the favorite done. Receiver. Not the favorite. Not, he's not Devontae Adams. But he is probably the second favorite receiver of Aaron Rodgers, and that carries a little bit of weight in the Packers' offense.
Hey, Chris Thomason of St. Paul Pioneer Press, Ryan, reported a few hours ago on Twitter that Vetvik, the kicker punter that the Vikings acquired in trade, also had interest from the Bears. Makes sense, looking for a kicker.
Yep.
Jets, whose kicker just retired, makes sense. And the Green Bay Packers, those three teams had interest in trading for him besides the Minnesota Vikings. Does that surprise you?
Nah, you're not surprised by anything, but you know, Mason Crosby hasn't come out with the calf injury. It's not like he's come out and set the world on fire. And it's not like Sam Ficken has done the same. Sam Ficken has had, like if you want to talk like splash plays from a kicker, like 63-yarder in Family Night, that's a splash play from a kicker. He's had some of those, but he's not been consistent. And that's huge. The number one thing for a kicker, period, is consistency. You got to be able to rely on the guy. I mean, I'm not going to say yes, but at the end of the day, it would still surprise me if Mason Crosby wasn't the kicker week one. It would just really surprise me. He's not a lock by any means. Things could happen, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't the kicker week one.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, appreciate you getting yelled at and berated and
we
screamed
love,
at by our Packer Hall of Famer. So. So we'll do it again on Wednesday. But make sure you bring your boxing gloves.
Sounds good.
That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our green and gold insider here on the Wendy's Big Show. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.